Actually, we finished the Torah. We're just going to have some additional information that Rav Nosson Zal gives about this chapter on Likud Moharan. So for those that didn't hear the beginning of this chapter, unfortunately, the first paragraph of what we're going to do might not be completely clear. But after that, it'll be much easier. Rav Nosson Zal adds on to this chapter, Likud Moharan, that we just completed, Zois HaTorah, this chapter, V'gam Maimar HaMaschil Elo HaMisporim Atzmom, and so also the upcoming chapter Tesvov, Torah Tesvov, which begins with the words Elo HaMisporim Atzmom, V'chol Ma Shenemar Baderech, and a series of other chapters in Likud Moharan right around this area, Kegoin Hikshu, such as chapter Tezayin here, HaKoel Echod, all of these chapters are interconnected. Ki Kol Elo HaMa'amorim Kshurim Zebozeh. All of these chapters in Likud Moharan are related one to the other in concept. V'heim Merumozim V'nistorim B'divrei Rabbi Sein Zechon Avrocha. And they're hinted to and hidden in the words of the Gemara. B'toyecho Agodo HaPliya Ma'oid. Within the wondrous Agodo, Masheshor Rabbi Zeira Rabbi Yehuda Kadhava B'dicha Data. The Gemara in Shabbos, where the Gemara says that Rabbi Zeira once saw Rabbi Yehuda when he was in a very happy frame of mind in a Meichen the Godless, and he started asking him fantastic questions. And he said at the time, the boy mine kol chalei d'alma, and he felt that if he would ask Rabbi Yehuda any questions of anything in the entire world, he would be able to give him the answer at this point in time. Because we mentioned many times, there exists a concept of Meichen de Katnus and Meichen de Gadlus, which applies even to the greatest Talmidei Chachamim and the greatest Tzaddikim, that there are times when the person feels a Harchovas Hadas, where his brain is wide open, and he's able, at that time, you shoot any question at him, he can answer right off the cuff. Or he can give a sheer, fantastic Hisoirus, or whatever it is. The same Talmud Chacham, with all of that knowledge, goes through ups and downs, where at times when he's not chas v'shalom depressed, we don't say he's depressed, because that never happens to one who's a real Talmud Chacham, because he knows that that's treif. But a state of meichen dekatnus, where he's not that happy, and at such a time, it's difficult for him, the same question, which ordinarily he wouldn't have any problem answering, here his mind is a little bit closed. And we mention many times, the Gemara says, Gimel Dvarim Archiv and Datay Shelotam, that there are three things that give a person Harchovas Hadas. The three are Ishanoe, Diranoe, and Kelemnoe. A good wife, or a good place, a good house, a nice house, or Kelemnoe. Person has nice clothing or other things, these things give a person a harchovas hadas where he's able to feel better about himself or about life. So he has this harchovas hadas, whereas if chas v'shalom there's a problem in these things, it leads to a meichen dekatnus. Okay, v'shalois soy kama sheilois, and Reb Zeira asked Reb Yehuda many questions there, v'heim pliois nizgovois ma'oid, and these questions are very, very strange. A person learning the Gemara, the questions seem to be a bit strange. Kegoin maitaimo turo aricha gnuse, for example, he asked them, why does an ox have a long tail and a camel has a short tail? You picture amayroim in the Gemara, a person had a chance to ask fantastic questions, this was all he could think of. So obviously there are tremendous secrets hidden in these questions, which Rabbeinu Zal explains some of them within these chapters of Likud Moharan that we're discussing now. My time at Tarnagoila Midlaina, why is it that a chicken, its eyelid closes whereby the lower eyelid moves up versus all other animals or human beings where the upper eyelid moves down? These were the questions that were asked. The Chol Hashailas Hanemorashom, Kulam Heim Plios Gedailos Moi, they're wondrous questions. Vishom Marumos Vinistar Kol Hanal. And in that Agarata is hidden all the different concepts that are going to be discussed and that were discussed in the previous chapters in Likud Moharan that we just did, and that are going to be discussed in the upcoming chapters, as you're going to see soon. And also what we had in the chapter Teri Yud in Likud Moharan previously, where Rabbeinu Zal spoke about Badicha Daite, about a person being in a happy frame of mind, is also tied into this Agarata, where the Gemara begins by saying he was Badicha Daite. גם מה שכוסוב במיימר הזה על פוסק ואיי הסל אוילו מרומז בגודה הנאו, so too the chapter on the Kutamran that we just dealt with, which deals with the question of Aye Hasel Eilo, which we mentioned about Yitzchak Avinu when he was going through Sveikos in Emunah at that time, and he called out this Aye Mekayim Kevoidoi Shenemar Shom, because if you look in the Gemara says over there that the wording that Rabbi Zera used was Iboy Minei Kol Chalalei D'Alma. If I would ask any question in the world and know to use the word Kol Chalalei D'Alma, Cholol means a vacuum. When Dovid HaMelech said Libi Cholol B'Kirbi, my heart is a vacuum because I have evicted the Yetzer Hara from my heart. That's what he meant. Rabbi Nizal says, Zeh Soy Bechinas Cholo Haponui. This is where Rabbi Zera was referring to the fact that he saw that Rabbi Yehuda was in so fantastic a frame of mind that now he could even ask him questions that come from the Cholo Haponui, which are the most difficult questions in religion, and he would be able to get the answers to these questions. Rabbi Nizal has a chapter on Likutei Moran in the first part of Likutei Moran, the first chelik of Likutei Moran, Teres Samach Dalid, which coincidentally, when the book Rabbi Nachman's Fire was written, it was a translation of two chapters of the Likutei Moran into Hebrew. That was one of the chapters that was picked because of its uniqueness, where there Rabbi Nizal discusses that there are two types of apikursim. There's a mission in Perkei Avos where it says, Veda mashitoshev l'apikiris. There is a concept of an apikiris whom you're required to give an answer to. When certain types of questions are asked in religion, you're permitted to and obligated to supply an answer. There are certain other questions which come from the Bechina of the Cholol Haponei, Rabbi Nizal says. These are certain very deep questions, just as the Gemara says in Chagiga, that there are certain questions which a person is not allowed to ask, Malifnim, Malochar, Malamal, Malamata. These questions are referred to in Sifrei Kabbalah as the Bechina of the Cholol Haponei. Just as the Arizal brings in the beginning of the Eitz Chaim, that when Hashem first created the world, there's a paradox that we have to understand that we don't understand about Hashem's creation. In the world. What's the paradox? That on one hand we say that in the beginning all that existed was Hashem, all that existed was the infinite light of Hashem, the Oyer Ein Seif of Hashem, and in order for Hashem to create, Kaviyochel Hashem had to make room for the Bria to take place. So Kaviyochel Hashem had to remove his presence to a degree from a certain area to create a vacuum there to make space in which creation should take place. So Mitzad Echod, we're forced to say that Kaviyochel Hashem had to remove himself from that place, otherwise there's no room for Bria. Mitzad Hasheni, we know that Kaviyochel, if Hashem ever removes his presence from a place, there cannot be any existence in that place. And this is called the Cholol Haponui, the vacuum which is void, Kaviyochel, of Hashem, although Chas V'Sholem, to say that anything is void of Hashem, that's the most ridiculous thing in the world, because there's no concept of anything being alive without the presence of Hashem there. So this, Rav Nosson Zal writes here, that this, the fact that he said, Boi Minei Kol Chalalei D'Alma, refers to these types of deeper questions that stem from this Cholol Haponui, this paradox, which corresponds to the chapter on the Kutamran that we just discussed about the Aye Mekoyim Kevoidoi. For example, we say that the Torah is called Eitz Chaim Hila Machzikin Bo. If the Torah is Eitz Chaim, then how is it conceivable for the Goyim to have any existence? Goyim don't have the Torah, they refuse the Torah, the Torah remains by the Jews. If the Torah is called the Tree of Life, how is it feasible for a Goy who has no Achiz and Torah whatsoever to have existence? So Rabbi Nizal explained in this chapter in the Kutamran that this is based on the Asura Mamora, that when Hashem first created the world, he created it with 10 statements. 9 of them were obvious ones. The 10th is called Maimar Sosum. Bereshis is also a Maimar. And it's this Maimar Sosum where Kaviyochel, the cover of Hashem here, is completely hidden. That's what gives chias for the Goyim or for a Jew who's Chas V'Sholem Peiresh from the Darkei Torah, for him to be able to have an existence. At the time that he's apart from the Torah, his chias has to come from this Maimar Sosum, this hidden covet of Hashem. So Rav Nosson Zal is showing here that this also ties into that agarata. And Rav Nosson Zal explains, Shehu kaviyochel ponui melekusi yisborach, this chol aponui, we have to say in a sense that it's void of Hashem, ube'emes, whereas in truth, bevadai i'efsher shelo yeh Hashem gam ken Hashem yisborach. It's impossible that there should be any concept of existence within there if Hashem is not present there. Ki im ken meheichon yikabel chiyus. We know that Tefillah Lekel Chayoi, Dovra Melech says in Tehillim, any chiyus that exists in this world must come from Hashem. If Hashem is void from a place, there's no possibility, no potential of chiyus there. Achzehu Bechinas Hanal. This corresponds to what we discussed in this previous chapter on the Kutamran. That what? That Shemekabel Chiyus Mibechinas Maimar Sosum, Bechinas Bereshis. That these places, this Cholol Haponu, these places that are completely void of Kedusha, they draw from this Maimar Sosum, this hidden statement of Hashem, that's where they draw their Chiyus from. Gam Mashekosov Lokamon Binyan Yira, also the topics that we're about to discuss about Yira, Yorei Shabbos, about the word Bereshis, that the Tikkun Ezer says the word Bereshis contains in it all 613 mitzvahs of the Torah. For example, one of the tzirufim of Bereshis is Yorei Shabbos, to have respect for the Shabbos. Shayach Gamkein Lakan is also associated with this Agarata. Ki Kol Yira Yesh Lamaymar, because Rabbeinu Zal is going to explain in that chapter that every Yira has a statement associated with it. V'yesh Maymar Shekoilel Kulam. There is a certain Maymar that's koilel all of these different types of yira that exist in the world. And again, this is naturally connected with this topic of yira that's discussed within this agarata. Gam ma shekosev lekamon binyan hashkocho shayach gam kein lezeh alagoda hanal mai taima tarnagola midla'eno v'lo yizachinu l'shmoye bir kol zeh. Rav Moshe Zal says that when Rabbeinu Zal related these chapters in the Likutei Moran, he made it clear that a person studying that agarata clearly will understand how all of that is associated with what we're going to discuss in these chapters, but Rabbeinu Zal didn't explain it fully. Now, Rav Nosson Zal, in the Likutei Halachos, in several places, does us the favor of taking these agaratas in the Gemara and showing the association between them and these Torahs in the Likutei Moran that we're about to discuss. We'll try, as we go along, to cover some of those items. But this was just the cleanup from the previous Torah that we just finished, Torah Yud Beis. Torah Yud Gimel, Rabbeinu Zal says, Kishecholkim al ha'odom, when a person has opponents against him, people being chaylik against him, Nimtza sheroidfim oisai. This is an inyan that they're chasing him, they are the roidfim, and he is a nirdof, he's the one being chased. V'hu boireach b'chol pam l'Hashem yisporach. Rabbeinu Zal says, generally, when a person's chased, it means he's forced to leave the place he's in now and go to a new place. Any new mokim that he goes to is a bechina of running to Hashem, because one of the names of Hashem, as we explained recently, is mokim. We say hamokim yirachem aleihem v'yitzie mitzor l'rvocha. Where does this name mokim stem from? The Zohar Kodesh says that the shem mokim is actually Hashem's name yud kei vav kei b'hakor. When you take Hashem's name yud kei vav kei, you take each letter and square it. Yud square is 100. Hey squared is 25, Vav squared is 36, Hey squared is 25, the total gematria is 186, which is Mokoim. So this is why, this is one of the nicknames of Hashem. Why is it Bedafka square? Because those that are familiar with simple algebra, or simple geometry, know that when you want to calculate the area of something, the area of a rectangle is length times width. The area of a square is side square. You multiply any side, you square it, you have the area of that item. Kaviyochol, if Hashem is mekaymoy shel olam, Hashem is the place of the whole world, then if we want to calculate kaviyochol, this concept of mokoyim, it's done by taking any side of Hashem, kaviyochol, and squaring it. By taking the most basic representation of Hashem, Hashem's basic name, yud kei vav kei, and squaring it, that's how we come to the area, the concept of mokoyim, stam, which means the whole world, anything that's included within the concept of mokoyim. So Rabbeinu Zal says here, so each time the person is running, he's running to Hashem. The chol ma shechelkin olav, and the more that these people cause are chelik against him, yoser mekarvan oisa yoser l'Hashem yisporach, the more they bring him closer to Hashem. So that Rabbeinu Zal saying, you should know that when a person has machlekes against him, many times that's to the person's advantage, as we're going to explain soon. Ki Hashem yisporach b'chol mokoyim, because we know Hashem is found everywhere. Bebechina says, David HaMelech says in Tehillim, imesak shomayim shom ato v'atziyo shoyel hineko. If I reach up to the highest of heavens, you Hashem ought to be found there. V'atziyo shoyel, and even if I go down to the seventh Gehenim that the Gemara says is called shoyel hineko, you're also to be found there. So wherever a person is, in any spot within Mokoyim, Hashem is there. Nimtza shebechol Mokoyim bareich l'Hashem yisporach. Wherever you're running towards Hashem. V'ze b'chinas u'paroi hikriv. This is what the Zohar HaKadosh says on a statement in Chumash. It says, Vayirdoif paroi achareihem. Paroi was chasing the Jews. And then the Pasuk says, Uparoi hikriv. And people learning Chumash in school, Taichit, paroi approached them, and they got scared, and they screamed to Hashem. Whereas those that are familiar with Dikduk, hikriv doesn't mean he approached. Hikriv means he brought them close. Paroi brought them close. Who did he bring close? The Medrash says, Shehikriv es Yisrael laviyim shebashamayim. By Paroi chasing after the Jews and applying pressure to them, what were they forced to do? They were forced to scream to Hashem. They were forced to daven. So by his chasing them, he actually brought them closer to Hashem. Shayadei redifosa yoysam, through his chasing them, niskarvu yoyser l'Hashem yisporach. They were brought closer to Hashem. And Rabbeinu Zal here is showing us an that a person should know that a lot of times when a person has tzoros in this world, Rachman al Zlan, where he has redifos, redifos could be in the form of creditors, people applying pressure to him, people chasing him for money that he owes them, or people chasing him, a wife chasing him for money for clothes or different things, or any aspect of machlekes. Many times that's a favor from Hashem, in the fact that Hashem likes this person, and Hashem wants this person to get closer to Hashem, and he knows that this person, if everything is going smooth for him and easy, he's not going to come davening to Hashem. If we apply a little pressure, we turn the screws on him, he's going to be forced to daven to Hashem, and once he davens to Hashem, he's going to get much closer to Hashem. Just like the Zohar HaKadosh says, which does Hashem like more, an oni or an oshir, a poor man or a rich man? The Zohar HaKadosh says, unquestionably, it's the oni. Why? Because the rich man is a concept where Hashem gives him enough to keep him, Hashem gives him a week's salary in a shot, or what he needs for a year in a shot, so he won't come bother Hashem. Hashem doesn't want to listen to him, or doesn't want to talk to him. So Hashem gives him his year salary in advance, like, so he won't come ask him for anything. The oni, Hashem puts him in a predicament where he's forced to come to Hashem every minute, every day. And that's a sign of love on the part of Hashem. Either kasha, we have certain tzaddikim that were ashirim. Rabbeinu Zal explains that there are reasons for tzaddikim to have ashirus at certain times. Certain great tzaddikim where the Torah passed through their hands, like Moshe Rabbeinu, Rabbi Yehuda Hanossi, Rabbi Naravashi, those tzaddikim, in order to be zeichet to a certain type of hisbeinus hatayro, they needed ashirus. As we said by Avraham Avinu, va'Avraham zokein bo bayomim, va'Hashem berach es Avraham bakoil. Rabbeinu Zal explains that in Torah Samech and Likutei Moran. But normally it's these aniyim that are closer to Hashem. Just as the Arizal brings that the word oni itself, we know that every Jew is a part of the Shechina. We mentioned many times that the word Shechina, the Arizal says the word Shechina b'miloi is b'gematria tof resh aleph, 601, representing the tof resh aleph neshamais of Bnei Yisrael. This is why the Arizal says, it says in Shir HaShirim, about the Shechina, toichoi rotzuf ahavo nivnois Yerushalayim. Toichoi rotzuf ahavo, the center, is lined with love. The first letters are tof resh aleph, which is the miloi of the Shechina. We mentioned that this refers to Hashem's name Aleph Dalet Nun Yud, which represents Din, which when you study the inside of it, if we take Hashem's name Aleph Dalet Nun Yud, which represents the Shechina, Dina de Malchusa Dino, it represents Din, if we look at the Teich of it, it's Rotzuf Ahava, it's lined with Chesed. If you take each one of the letters of the Milui of Aleph Dalet Nun Yud, Aleph is spelled Aleph Lamed Pei, Lamed is Lamed Mem, Aleph Dalet is spelled Dalet Lamed Tov, Nun, Vav Nun, Yud, Vav Dalet, the Teich, the center, is Begimatria Chesed. It's Lamed Lamed Vav Vav, which is Chesed, showing this concept of Toichoi Rotzuf Ahavo, that the inside of the Shechina is lined with love. So we were saying, so we see that this Tof Reish Aleph represents the Neshamos of Bnei Yisrael. Each Jew represents a part of the Shechina, which means each and every one of us is Aleph, Dalet, Nun, Yud. An Oni, the Arizal says, an Oni is always guaranteed that the Shechina is with him. As the Pasuk says in Tehillim, Ki Ya'amoid Limin Evyoin. Hashem always stands to the right side of a poor man. Where do we see this? The Arizal says, you see, because the word Oni is twice Aleph, Dalet, Nun, Yud, showing that he has the normal portion that any ordinary Jew has, where he's a part of the Shechina, plus he always has this Ki Ya'amoid Limin Evyoin, that the Shechina is always beside him. So Rabbein Azal is telling us here that whenever a person feels this pressure around him, he shouldn't take it as a bad sign. He should use this as an excuse to come closer to Hashem, to pull himself closer. That if he feels suffering around him, it's an excuse to go daven to Hashem. It's an excuse to bring yourself closer to Hashem. 100%. That's also true. In other words, another form of a chaylik against the person is a person's own yetzahara. That's this bechina of uparoi hikri. If paroi represents a rasha, the sitrachra, the satan, ha'oiref, the Arizal says paroi is ha'oiref, which represents the back of the neck, the sitrachra, that the satan's battling against the person. When a person sees that the satan is being misgabar against them, it's not necessarily a sign that Hashem hates him. It could be a sign that Hashem likes him. Because the one whom Hashem, with the Gemara says, that kol ha'godol mechaveroi, yitzroi godol himeno. That's why Rabbein Azal says a lot of times people take this as a wrong sign. They see that suddenly they're going through tremendous tests from the Satan, and they figure this is a sign that Hashem doesn't want me, Hashem's pushing me away. And on the contrary, it could be just the opposite. It could be that that's the proof that Hashem wants you more. Otherwise, he wouldn't be smashing on you so much and forcing you to call out to him. It's just, Rachmon Litzlan, some people don't take the hint. They misinterpret, and that's where Rachmon Litzlan, they lose out.
Isn't there a shear to which point Hashem could be, trying to get somebody's attention? I mean, Hashem would only do what's good, and he must realize a person's nature that at a certain point he would stop calling.
The answer is, for that, the Gemara tells us, Ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu Bo Bitronyo in Briyosav, that Hashem never presents a person a test that's impossible for the person. In other words, who knows better our limitations, us or Hashem? The answer is no question that it's Hashem. Therefore, if a person ever finds himself in a situation where he says this test is impossible, he could be underrating himself. Because the Gemara testifies that Hashem will never give you a test that you can't pass.
We know there are two kinds of Yisur. There's Yisur and Shalava, and then there's a different kind.
Right.
So what kind of
that? That a person has to be mispower for. In other words, there's no question at all that when a person gets Yisurin, he has to search within himself to see whether, that's why the Gemara tells us how to differentiate between Yisurin Shalava, Yisurin Shainan Shalava, for the person to be able to know whether it's a good sign or a bad sign. The Gemara gives advice about that, that if a person sees that there's no Bitul Teiro or Bitul Tefila coming out of the Yisurin, then he knows it's Yisurin Shalava, whereas if there is Chas V'Shalom, could be it's a different kind of Yisurin. But even then again, the Gemara says that Yisurim is so special an item. The Gemara says that it's Memarken Avinoisa Shalodon, that one of the things that serves as a kapora for sins more so than anything else is Yisurim. It's not something that we ask for, but once a person has it, a person has to be thankful in a sense. Okay. Torah Yudalid. Rabbein Azal bases this on the Pasuk in Tehillim, Rabim Loichamim Li Moroim. Dovid HaMelech said to Hashem that I have many battling against me, Moroim, from above. What was he referring to? Rabbein Azal says, Hainu Sheyesh Loi Soinim Lemalo Bamoroim. Dovid HaMelech was saying to Hashem that he realized that he had actual enemies above, in heaven, Bamoroim. Ukamaisham Razal, as the Gemara says in Sanhedrin, that Kishem Shiesh Tzorim Melamato, Kach Yesh Tzorim Melamalo. The Gemara says there clearly that a person should be ma'amets himself in tefillah. A person should daven very, very hard, because a person doesn't even know that besides the enemies that we encounter in this world, people also have enemies above, just as we mentioned in the beginning of this Chelek of Likud Imran. that the Zohar Kodesh tells us, as the Medrash says, there is a kinas hamalochim, that basically when Hashem first wanted to create mankind, the malochim were against it. They said, mo enoish kisiz kareno venodom kisiv kedeno. So there is this concept of a competition, in a sense, between the malochim and the Jews, where the malochim, in a sense, are jealous. There is an actual kinah from them to Bnei Yisrael. Why are we being made aware of this? Lemiboy rachmi, that you should know that the Jew in this world is in a state of peril, sakona. He has, the Gemara compares us to one sheep surrounded by 70 wolves. We have the goyim to contend with. Then rachmona litzlan, within the Jews itself, the Gemara says in Psochim, that more than the hate that a goy has for a Jew is the hate that an Amoritz has for a Talmud Chacham. And on top of that, we have malachim looking to shoot things at us. What's the only solution? The Gemara says there in Sanhedrin that a person should be ma'ameitz himself with tefillah. A person should fortify himself with tefillah. A person should beg Hashem that even the malachim should support him. They shouldn't work against him, they should support him. Just as we find there were tzaddikim who was zeicha to have malachim help them. Eliyahu HaNavi is one of the malachim in heaven, in a sense. He came and taught Torah to some of the tzaddikim. Avraham Avinu, the others, was zeicha that Gavriel, other malachim, helped them. The Gemara tells stories about tzaddikim, Tanoim in the Gemara, who was zeicha that the Malach HaMoves came and taught them Torah. So we see that they were zeicha through their koyach ha-tefillah to be machmiya these malachim, to get them completely on their side, to help them. So Rabbeinu Zal is making us aware of this Rabbim lechamim limorim, this is what David HaMelech was referring to. Baruch Hashem. Next, Torah Tesvov. Now this chapter we're not going to be able to complete tonight. Hopefully we'll do about half of it, and the rest we'll complete the Mitzvah Shem in the next Shia. Here Rabbeinu Zal is going to be talking about the concept of tzaddikim, and note, interestingly, we have kaviyochel. One of the names of Hashem is Mokoim, as we just explained, which refers to the Kiddush of Hashem. The Sifrei Kabbalah bring that one of the names that's given to the Tumah is one of the letters in the Hebrew alphabet that's associated with Tumah is the letter Kuf, the Hebrew letter Kuf. Why? How does the letter Kuf represent Tumah? Ragleho yordos moves. The Zohar HaKadosh says that we know that the letter He represents the Shechina. Just as in Hebrew language, in Dikduk, the He represents feminine, the letter He in Yud Kei Vav Kei represents the Shechina. When we say L'Shem Yichud Kutche Berichu Shechintei, it means the three letters of Yud Kei Vav being hooked up. Tshuva is toshuv hey, to return the hey to the yud kei vav, to the shechina. So the Sifrei Kabbalah tell us that there's a pasuk which says ragleho yordos moves, that when the tumah tries to draw from the kedusha, when they try to draw from the shechina is represented by this letter hey, and when the tumah tries to pull on this and to pull it down, it's able to force the raglin of kedusha chas v'shalom to go down, to fall into tumah, and this is represented by the Hebrew letter kuf, where the leg of the hay has been pulled down. Why kuf? Because one of the nicknames that's given to the Soton, to the whole power of Tumah, is that he is Kikoif Bivnei Odom. He apes Hashem Kaviyochol. Hashem tells us that the Torah is called Derocheho Darchei Noyam, that if you want to know where sweetness exists in this world, it's in Torah, it's in Mitzvah, it's in Kiddusha. What does the Soton do? He's the Koyach Hamedame. He's the one who makes believe. He takes something that's bitter and makes it look like it's sweet. He apes the Kiddusha. He makes what's bad look like it's good. This is why this is one of the nicknames that's given to the Satan is Koif, because it's the Zeh Lu'uma Zeh. Kaviyochol Hashem is Mokoim, which is 186, and this word Koif, which represents the Satan, the Klipa, is also Kuf Vov Pei. It's this 186, it's the Zeh Lu'uma Zeh of this Kiddusha of Mokoim. So now Rabbeinu Zal is going to discuss this concept of tzaddikim amitiyim versus mefursomim shel sheker, rachmona litzlan. Rabbeinu Zal says, Eilu hamisporim atzmon, b'sheker, b'gdulois v'nefloys, these people, Rachmona Litzlon, who talk about themselves in a very exalted way, very great, wondrous, u'ke'ilui ein shum dover nimna mehem, and they present themselves as though they have the power, the force is with them, and they have the power, there's nothing that they can't do, there's nothing that's impossible for them, v'hakoil b'yodam, everything is within their hands, v'yesh mehem, and Rachmona Litzlan, there are some of these that actually become leaders of the generation. Rabbi Nizal explains, Hine ikor koichom v'yinikosom hurak mehatzadikim hagdeilim. Where do they draw from? We know that there's a rule that Tuma can never exist on its own. It must have a base in Kiddusha that it draws from, that it draws chiyus from. What's their base? Where is their yinika come from? Rabbi Nizal says that hine ikar koicham v'yinikosom hurak mehatzadikim hagdailan. Their yinika comes from certain great tzadikim. Why? Rabbi Nizal explains. Kiyesh tzadikim amitim gedolim b'malo. There are certain very, very great tzadikim. V'yesh lohem pe kodosh. And they have a very holy mouth. We know that by tzadikim, the Gemara says in Brochus, that the ikar koyach of a tzadik is in his mouth, the Elisha da'ovid barachmihu da'ovid, that all the miracles, all the nifloys that we see of tzadikim, what part of their anatomy performs these miracles? It's the koyach hadibur, their tefillah, that helps them do this. So Rabbi Nizal says, v'yesh lehem peh kodosh, they have a holy mouth. V'darkom ledaber gedulois v'nifloys. And they many times speak great, wondrous items. They discuss the greatness of their power and wondrous. Just as the Zohar Kodesh tells us of certain incidents where Rabbi Shimon ben Yochanan revealed to his Talmidim his tremendous koyach in heaven, or certain other tzadikim, where the Gemara tells us that this one, if you put the whole world on one end of the scale and him on the other side, he could tip over the whole world. And these tzadikim can honestly serve Hashem with any item that they're doing. Even their eating and drinking is a very high form of serving Hashem. Ushardvar, with certain other items that they do. For example, it's brought about the Baal Shem Tov HaKodesh that he smoked a pipe. And he was so great at tzadik, he was mechaven the side of the Ketairis. The Zohar HaKodesh says that the Ketairis is the highest korban in heaven in existence. That the Yud Aleph Samamon Ketairis, why were there 11 spices? The 11 represents, the 10 represents the Kiddusha. Akol be'asor eshchinto sharya. The number 11 represents even the Sitra Achra, that it goes down. This represents the Kiddusha that's able to go into the Tuma, into the Ragleho Yordis Moves, and affect a tikkun there. This is why the Sifrei Kabbalah bring that the number Yud Aleph, when you look at it b'milui, Yud Vav Dalet is 20, Aleph Lamed Pei is 111, Yud Aleph is Begimatria, the name of the Sot, Samach Mem Aleph Lamed, showing that it's this item specifically that's an equalizer to the Sotan, that's able to knock out the Sotan completely. This is why the Gemara says that when Moshe Rabbeinu went up to heaven, and when he left heaven, each one of the Malachim was obligated to give him a present. The Gemara says, what present did the Malach HaMoves give him? The Soid of the Ketores. Why? Because this Soid of the Ketores, this Yud Aleph Samamonim, is the Soid of the Sotan himself. In other words, the Sotan was forced to reveal to Moshe Rabbeinu with what Moshe Rabbeinu could neutralize the Satan. The Baal Shem Tov HaKodesh was masig, how in smoking a pipe he was able to perform the side of the Korban of Ikteris as much as closely as possible to what was accomplished in the Beis HaMikdosh, in the offering of the Ikteris. He was able to do with his lulka, with his pipe, with certain other tzaddikim, as we're going to see in a minute, as discussed in the Kisvei Arizal, where they know how to be mechaven in their achila, in eating a certain way, in eating certain foods, they're able to be mechaven to certain yichudim and to bring about hamtoka sadinim. Rabbi Nizal says here, v'heim be'emes yichilam lavad Hashem b'chol dover sheba'ilam b'achilo shtiyo shar dvorim u'kemuva b'kavonois, as is brought in the Kisvei Arizal, shelefa'omim mamtikim dinim al the whole concept the Arizal brings, the Zohar Kodesh says, Kulhu b'machshavo is bariru. That if a person wants to be mamtik dinim, he has to go to the highest source of Kiddusha, machshavo, and be mamtik din there. The Arizal says this is part of the side of the Lamed Beis Shinayim, the 32 teeth that we have in our mouths that are hooked up to the brain very closely. You know, when you have a toothache, you know how you feel it, the pain, based on the nerves that are tied into the 32 teeth. The Arizal says that the whole concept of a Jew grinding up the food with the teeth, this is the concept of a Hamtoka Sadin in that itself, which is Miyache, the Guf and the Neshama. We know that whenever you want to bring about a Yichud, it's the Tzaddik Yisoid who's Meyached the Ochid Ben Shmai of Ara. He brings together heaven and earth. He brings a Yichud between heaven and earth, which is the Guf and the Neshama. This is part of the sweetening of the din that's performed when a Tzaddik eats Bikdusha. The Torah says Tzaddik Oichel L'Soiv HaNafshoi. When a person Chas V'Shalom eats the wrong way, it's the Gashmius that's being Goyver over the Ruchnius. His act of eating is where the Gashmius is winning over the Ruchnius, the Guf is being higher than the Neshama, that represents a Hisgabrus of Din. We know that normally Chesed is on top, Gvur is on bottom. Zohar is on top, Nekevo is on bottom. Chesed is on top, Din is on bottom. The Neshama is on top, the Guf is on bottom. When a person reverses it, Chas V'Shalom, that represents a Hisgabrus of Din. By the tzaddik who eats l'soivan afshay, where his eating is not for gashmi's purpose, his eating is purely to sustain the neshama, to keep the neshama alive, his act of eating alone represents ahamtokas hadin, where the nefesh is being goyver over the guf, or where with these lamed beis shinayim, which represent chokhmah, the 16 on top, 16 on and 16 on bottom, representing the letter aleph, the Arizal says, just as in the aleph, an aleph is actually two yuds with a vav in the middle. The two yuds both share the vav in the middle. This represents, the Arizal says, the 16 teeth on top, the 16 on bottom, which form this 32, this lamed beis nesivus hachochmah. The Sefer Yetzirah begins with the words lamed beis nesivus hachochmah. This is why the pasuk says va'alefcha chochmah. I will teach you chochmah, that in the letter aleph, we have the side of Chochmah, this 32, the Yud Vav on top and the Yud Vav on bottom. In other words, the Vav in the middle being shared by both Yuds. So we see that Tzaddikim are capable through their Yediyah in the Kisvei Arizal, other things, they know how to perform Yichudim and Amtokas Adinim through eating. However, Rabbeinu Zal continues to explain, V'yesh Tzaddikim Amitim, there are also great tzaddikim sheyecholim la'aseis pidyoin al yidei achilosam ukiyotze, that they can actually perform a pidyoin to redeem a Jew, rachmon son, from a tzoro or other things through their act of eating, by their eating of food, not just by their limud haTorah or by their tefillah, but even their achila is done with so much kiddusha that they're able to affect the tikkunim of a pidyoin ukiyotze and other things like that. Umachmas ha-hisparus shel elu ha-tzadikim ha-gdoilim shi-yotze mipiyam ha-kodosh, and because of the praise that sometimes comes forth from these great tzadikim when they describe their power. Now, why would such a tzadik describe his power? The answer is because if he wouldn't describe it, we would never know it. We're not great enough to recognize this on our own. So sometimes these tzaddikim are kind enough to notify us about their power so that we should have an idea as to how much yiras hakovod, how much respect and love we should have for them. But Rabbeinu Zal says, at times, when these tzaddikim discuss their hisparus, mizeh bo, from this it comes, shenimtzoim tzivuim, that there are fakers, phonies, shakronim, people that are false, shemizdamim atzmam kikoif, they mimic as an ape does. In other words, they ape these tzaddikim amitim, umisparim atzmam gamkein mamish be'elu halshoina shel hisparus sheyotze mipe kodesh shel tzaddik emes, and they use the same words about themselves as the tzaddik emes uses in describing his greatness. These mefursanim shel sheker go around telling people that they can do these great things. Why? Because they read in Sforim, in the Kisvei Arizal, other places, they read that there were once these fantastic tzaddikim who was zeichet to be able to do this, and they go ahead and say this about themselves, and they have Tishn, they make a whole ceremony of their eating a meal where they are not necessarily on the same madrega as these very, very great tzaddikim, the Arizal, other big tzaddikim, who are able to effect fantastic tikkunim with their achila. Uke'en shemotzinu b'neviim, and as we find by certain neviim, for example, the Novi tells us, she'yirmiyo hayom esnabe b'shuk ha'elyoin. The Novi tells us that Yirmiyah said a prophecy in the shuk ha'elyoin, and he said, hineni shoiver es keshes elon. He quoted the words of Hashem, that Hashem said that that Hashem is going to give the power to Yirmiyahu HaNavi to smash the strength of Elam. Elam was a Rasha at that time, and Hashem said he's going to give Yirmiyahu HaNavi the power to crush him. The Hananya ben Azur, Novi Sheker, the Novi says over there in Kapitel Chavtes that Hananya ben Azur was a Novi Sheker. And he said the exact he said what Yirmiyahu HaNavi said about himself. He said, Hineni Shoiver es oil melech Bavel. I'm going to come and I'm going to crush Bavel. Whereas the Novi tells us over there that he was really a Novi Sheker, and in the end he was knocked out. But Rabbi Nezal says, we see from here that there is this concept of a Novi Emes who has tremendous power, and you can have a Novi Sheker saying that he can do the same thing as the Novi Emes when in truth he really can. Rabbi Nezal says, "Kemoi kein misnaheg achshav kanal," and this thing applies even in present-day generations, Rachmanu Litzlan, that there are mefursamim shel sheker, people who present themselves as big tzaddikim, and they say about themselves the similar things to what big tzaddikim, true tzaddikim, say about themselves when it's not really true. Avol, Rabbi Nezal says, but ikar yinikosom rak mitzadikim elu shecholchem begedulois v'neflois kanal. The main yinika of these mefursamim shel sheker comes from these tzadikim who go in these great ways, who go with these gedulois and neflois, who are doing these wondrous miracles and these great things. Ki mitzadikim pshutim oivdei Hashem b'pshitas b'toyro tefila ma'asim tovim, because from the simpler type of tzadikim who serve Hashem with simplicity, with Torah and Tefillah and Ma'asim Tovim, Ein Lohem Shum Koyach. From those types of tzaddikim, these mefursamim shel sheker don't draw any power. Why? Me'achar shehat tzaddikim bi'atzmon einon medabrim gedulois, because of the fact that these tzaddikim themselves don't talk about greatness, they don't discuss their greatness. U'misnahagim b'pshitus b'avoydatamo, and their hanhoga is with the utmost of simplicity. Al kein ein lahasheker v'hagatlus shelohem achizah behem. Therefore, the sheker and gatlus of these mefursamim shel sheker has nothing to latch onto with these people, because these tzaddikim are so simple. There's nothing to grab onto. There's no gatlus in them to be able to grab onto. Rabbi Nezal says, Al kein ein lahasheker v'hagatlus shelohem achizah behem kol kach. It can't latch onto them as much. V'af al pi shegam bo even though, even when it comes to these simple tzaddikim, there also exists a potential, meaning that there should be phonies and fakers who mimic the pshitas and tmimus of the true tzaddikim, meaning as there are found, there are people who go dressed with talis and tefillin all day. They present themselves as being very, very frum, but in truth they're phony. They're not roy for this. Just as, for example, we find nowadays most talmidei chachamim, whereas in the Vilna Goyim time, it's brought that certain big tzaddikim at that time were ma'utov betalas tefillin all day, because they were capable of keeping their machshava 100% noki, so they were able to wear talas tefillin all day. Whereas nowadays, there are very, very few people that are roy for that, and therefore most people don't do that. But there are people who make believe that they're worthy of these high levels. So here again, their gaiva is not that they go around saying that they're very great. Their gaiva is in the fact that they make believe their tzaddikim, they make believe like they're very humble and simple, they walk small steps, and they make believe that they're very pious in this way, when really that's not them, that's not the real them. Im kolze, however, Rabbeinu Zal says, still, ein lohem koyach lahatoy sa'olam kol kach kamoy elo hamisparim bigdois kanal. Still, if you want to know which one of these two is more dangerous, these who make believe they're very pious and simple and small are not as much in a position to cause the Welt to make a mistake as much as the ones who carry on in the opposite way, where they carry on like they're big tzaddikim, they're capable of performing miracles and maisim and these kind of things. Rabbeinu Zal explains now. In other words, this is an introduction. This is the concept that Rabbeinu Zal is going to deal with, and now Rabbeinu Zal is going to explain what's behind this. Rabbeinu Zal says, "Kida, you should know, shehatzadik ho'emes hanal, this the tzadik emes mekabel dibur piv hakodosh mibalei tzedaka. Tzadikim amitim draw their dibur peh from balei tzedaka, from ones who give tzedaka. Now note, al pikabolo, tzedaka is an inyan of malchus, tzedek lavoshti or tzedek tidaberum. Tzedek is an inyan of malchus, tzedaka is malchus." And dibur is malchus, tzedek tidaberun. Dibur is malchus, malchus peh, we say in Posach Elio. So Rabbeinu Zal says that these tzaddikim draw their dibur peh from the balei tzedaka. V'zeh bechinas, this is what the Posach says in Tehillim, nidvois pi retzeinu Hashem. Note, the word nidovo is used in association with peh, that there is an association between the nedivu slave, those that give tzedaka, kol nediv libo yivyeho, and the union of the peh, the dibur. Shehat tzadik mekabel dibur piv minedive leiv. The tzadik emes draws his dibur peh from the good-hearted people, hainu bali tzedaka, those that give tzedaka. Utzedaka hi bechinas mayim. Tzedaka is a concept of water, bebechinas, as the Pasuk says about Hashem's charitableness, the Pasuk says, Hahoifchi Hatsur Hagam Mayim, that Hashem took the rock and brought from it water. This was part of Hashem's kindness, Hashem's tzedakah to the Eden, the chesed chinam of Hashem. So we see that Hatsur, Rabbeinu Zal says, a stone, Zebechinas Tzur Levovi. This represents the heart of stone, representing a concept of hard-heartedness. Rabbeinu Zal says, Kiyesh Leiv Ho'evin. There is a concept of a heart of stone, dahainu abirei lev harechokim tzedaka. This refers to those people who are stone-hearted, who are very far from tzedaka. They don't have a soft heart. Hashem says, v'asiroisi mikem es lev ho'even, v'nosati lechem lev boser. There exist people who have this heart of stone, where they're not generous in any way. They're not willing to part with anything. Rabbeinu Zal says, so lev ho'even represents those that are far from tzedaka. V'zehu, this is what the pasuk says, ha'hoifchi Hatsur agam mayim, dahainu shenishapech lelev rach. When a person who is hard-hearted takes his heart of stone and softens it and makes it into a heart of water, bebechinas shifchi kamayim. Rabbeinu Zal says, bebechinas shifchi kamayim libech noichach pnei Hashem, a concept of a liquid heart, a heart of water. He softens his heart. That's a concept of tzedaka. Dahainu leiv rach lehisnadev l'tzedaka. A concept of a soft heart in being generous with tzedaka. Rabbeinu Zal says, ubishvil ze nikre tzedaka mayim. This is why we find that one of the nicknames that's given to tzedaka is water. Kamei shekosu, as the pasuk says, utzedaka kenachal eson. The tzedaka flowed like the nachal eson. Note again, tzedaka being compared to water. Vze bechinas shlach lachmachal pnei hamayim hanemra b'tzedaka. We find another pasuk, shlach, send your waters, your bread on the waters, spread your bread on the waters, ki beroiv yomim timzeka. In other words, give tzedakah so that if you'll ever need a favor, act kindly towards people so that if you'll ever need a favor, they'll be willing to reciprocate. So we see again that tzedakah is always a bechin of mayim. Va'al yidei hatzedakah nase pe kodoy shela tzadik hanal. Rabbeinu Zal says, through tzedakah is what gives the tzadik his koyach hadibur. This is what the Gemara says in Rosh Hashanah, beficha zu tzedaka. That from the word beficha, the Gemara over there says that refers to a neder of tzedaka that a person makes with his mouth. So we see an association between tzedaka and the peh. Shayidei tzedaka nase hapeh shel tzadik hanal. Through tzedaka is created the koyach hadibur of the tzadik. V'hatzadik hu bechinas bechir shoyroi hodorloi. We know that a tzadik, Yosef hatzadik, was called Bechor. Tzadikim are referred to as the concept of Bechor, the firstborn, the chosen one. About Klal Yisrael, who are called Tzadikim, Va'amech Kulam Tzadikim, Hashem says, Bnei Bechor Yisrael. The Jewish nation is called as a whole a firstborn. By Yosef HaTzadik, who was an individual Tzadik, we find the title Bechor associated with him. Rabbeinu Zal says, U'Bechor Noitel Pishnayim. We know that the Bechor gets a double portion. The Vilna Gaon Zal says, if you look at the word Bechor, each letter of the word Bechir is 2. Beis is 2, Chof is 20, Resh is 200. Showing this concept that the firstborn gets a double portion, a pishnayim. Hainu shedibur piv hakodosh yeshloi shnei mashmois. The dibur piv that comes from a tzaddik has in it a double power, a double meaning. Umize bo shiesh koyach v'yeniko lahatzvuim hanal linak mehem lahafoich divrehem ela shekher shalehem. This is how it's feasible, how these rishonim, these shakronim, can take the dibur piv of the tzaddik and draw from it. Why? Because the dibur piv that comes from a tzaddik has in it this double. It's double. It's not single. It's double. Me'achar shehadibur hakodesh bi'atzmo yeshloi shnei mashmois. Since the dibur peh coming from the tzaddik has a double meaning. Note the term double is called pishnayim, peshnayim, a double peh. Bebechinas pishnayim kanal, as we explained before. Meaning, Rabbeinu is all saying here that these tzaddikim, their dibur peh, which comes from tzedakah, what the significance of that is, we're going to explain in the upcoming paragraph. We're going to explain how the tzaddik deals with tzedakah, etc., etc. But regardless, the dibur peh, the tzaddik, which comes from tzedakah, has this pishnayim. It comes out in two ways. Just as the Gemara says in Yuma, v'zayis ha-Torah asher sam Moshe lefnei bnei Yisrael, that when Hashem created the Torah, it was created as a sam chayim and sam ovis, that those who learn the Torah, tzadikim yelchu bom, upoishim yikoshlu bom, tzadikim will learn Torah and it'll bring them closer to Hashem. Rishoim will learn Torah, and the Torah itself will lead them to kfira, to mistakes. So too, Rabbi Nathal says, by the tzaddik, his dibur peh has this double edge to it, where his dibur peh comes out in such a way where there is a portion left for these Rishoim to be yainik from, for them to be able to take these words from the tzaddik and take it on to themselves when they aren't really rightfully in anywhere near those madregos, and be able to misuse it. Why? That Rabbi Nizal is going to explain in the upcoming chapter that we're going to have now. We'll hold it here for now. The upcoming paragraph, Rabbi Nizal is going to explain where the Gemara says by Yirmiyahu HaNavi that Yirmiyahu HaNavi was once mispalel when the Yidden were being very bad then. He was mispalel that Hashem should misguide them in tzedakah, that they should be, that their tzedakah, they should give their tzedakah, they should not be zeicher to give their tzedakah to aniyim hagunim. And Rabbi Nizal is going to explain how that tied into the whole concept of the nevuah of Yirmiyahu HaNavi.
Earlier in the beginning of the show, when you discussed Aryeh Gimel, two questions related. Number one, if Hashem is all over and a person is running, he's running through Hashem, so where he is Hashem too. What's right. The mila of running from where he is? And secondly, how does this distinguish from the advice that you presented on Shabbos about
a person
holding his ground.
The answer is obviously we're talking about two different situations. There, Rabbi Nizal spoke about a person, Rachmona Litzlan, who is in a bechina of Toilea, a person who's very, very far down, very far, where he has put himself in a situation where he is chas v'sham, as we said, ki kol shulchanos molei kitzaya b'li mokaim, where he's called in a vacuum, where for such a person, he's not permitted to run away, chas v'shalom, to try to leave his place. On the contrary, for him, his tikkun is totally in holding his ground and screaming to Hashem, Aye mekayim kevoidoy, acknowledging that the kavod of Hashem has left him. It hasn't left the place, it's left him, and therefore he has to call out to find where the mokayim of Hashem is, where the kavod of Hashem is. Here, Rabbi Nizal is not necessarily talking about such a person. He's talking about bechlal, the machlekes, when people have those, let's say, tzaddikim, when tzaddikim, for example, Rabbi Nizal himself, those that are familiar with the life story of Rabbi Nizal suffered tremendously from machlekes, or Moshe Rabbeinu. If you look in Chumash, Rachmona Litzlan, the machlekes that Moshe Rabbeinu went through, or Yosef HaTzadik, the machlekes that he went through from his brothers, he was forced to flee to Mitzrayim, he was sent down to Mitzrayim. All of this machlekes that we see tzaddikim going through, Rabbi Nizal says you should know that generally this is to bring them closer to Hashem. Just as by the Am Yisrael, when they were leaving Mitzrayim, what was the purpose of their being chased at that time? What for? Hashem took the land of Egypt and made a total zoo out of it. He turned it inside out, their water to blood, their blood flowed like water. One big circus. The animals, you know, one big animal farm, the animals running loose and everything. What was the purpose now? that at the last minute, Mitzrayim, they should start up again. Why not? You threw him out. Now sit down and relax. Be happy that you got rid of him. Why the chasing? Rabbeinu Zal, the Medrash Rabbah says, Uparo Yikriv. The purpose of that was for the benefit of Bnei Yisrael, for them to call out, to scream to such a level that Hashem said, Ma Titzak Eli, what are you screaming? Ba'atika Talya Milsad Azor HaKadosh says, that they had to scream such a high tefillah at that time, they were so pressed in from all sides, that they screamed up to the highest level Rachmim of Hashem. And it was Daika at the Kriyas Yamsuf that they were Zeicha to a level of Das, an incredible revelation. How did that revelation come about? Through the tefillah. Through the fact that they had this redifa, they were being chased, and they were forced to scream. That's what brought about this super hizgalas of the covet of Hashem. So at times, a person has to know that this redifa, the purpose of it is just to bring him close to Hashem.
Didn't we learn before that it was wrong for them to scream, that they should have just gone into the water?
That's, again, there's Shivan Ponim LaTorah. The Shoah Kodesh says that, why does the Pasuk say there? In other words, Hashem said, Ma Titzak Eli. That's the wording in the Pasuk there. What do you mean, Ma Titzak Eli? Isn't this what the Yidden were taught from Avraham Avinu, that whenever a Jew has a problem, what does he do? He goes running? Or he goes screaming to Hashem? What's taich that Hashem said, Ma Titzak Eli? What was Hashem's complaint there? It doesn't seem to make any sense. And the Shema HaKadosh explains that the complaint wasn't Ma Tispalalu Eli. That's not, it doesn't say, why are you davening? Davening was right. Ma Titzak. Titzak means a desperation, where the Jews really came screaming to Hashem as if they thought that the Mitzrayim were going to wipe them out. And the Shoah HaKadosh says that that was Hashem's complaint. Because the Gemara tells us a rule that Hashem never starts a job without finishing it. When Hashem starts something by a human being, it's shayach to say to start a mitzvah, not to finish it. By Hashem, once Hashem starts a mission, there is no way in the world that that's not going to get completed. And the Shoah HaKadosh says that that was their pigam. What was Hashem's complaint? Mate, what are you looking so desperate for? I said that I'm taking you out of Mitzrayim to bring you into Eretz Yisrael. What so big deal? There's 60 billion Egyptians running with blood-curdling sweat. They're going to kill you. Is there a problem? If I said I'm going to take you into Eretz Yisrael, you think it's different? You think I have a problem with all of these Egyptians? Just watch what we're going to do to them. That was the complaint. So it wasn't that there was a mistake in their tefillah. The tefillah was correct. They had to daven, and they did daven. The Torah, what did Moshe Rabbeinu say? Hashem Yilochem Lachem. In other words, they did daven, and Hashem fought and everything. The complaint was just the attitude that they took. That they took an attitude. They looked as though they were almost defeated. And Hashem was complaining that they should have been much more confident. That was the problem. It was a chesaron of bitachon in Hashem's being able to complete the mission. Period.
Then why by Mordechai Hatzadik, the term is used, Vayitzatzah B'gedayla, if he actually davened?
The answer is because there they weren't told. And it was the whole point of the Shloka Kodesh is that here they were told that they're being taken out of Mitzrayim, Tavdun es Hashem, you know, that Moshe Rabbeinu told them that you're going out to be able to serve Hashem on Har Sinai and everything. They were told that they're going there. By Mordechai HaTzadik, they weren't told. In other words, they didn't know there was going to be Yeshua. And that was a tremendous eis tzara. They were tremendously afraid. Therefore, it was proper for him to scream this Zo'oka Gedoyla. In other words, no question. They sak vayifer and everything because they had committed a tremendous pigam. They ate from the Suda, the Gemara says Megillah, they ate from the Suda of Ahasuerus. There was a tremendous gzardin against them, no question. Here there was no gzardin. Nobody was complaining. Moshe Rabbeinu came and told him, Hashem sending me here to take you out, to bring you to Har Sinai for the Torah, to bring you to Eretz Yisrael. That's what the Shloka Kodesh explains. Baruch Hashem.
The Suda of the Jews said they ate it. I heard someone once that it wasn't exactly that they had eaten trade food, but they felt that we made it with the grains.
In other words, probably that's what it is. In other words, there's no question that these Talmidei Chachamim that sat down weren't eating trefilas. But the fact that they were willing to attend a social gathering, in other words, this is brought in Sforim, this concept of not socializing with a goy. In other words, even if you're eating in a kosher restaurant, the act of socializing with them could lead, Rachman Aslan Tiznus. In other words, that's one of the reasons. What's the reason why Pasakum is treif? If it's kosher ingredients and everything. The Gemara says the reason is because we're afraid that eating with them is going to lead to arayas, Rachman al-Islam.
Is it possible to actually wish them, because you can pass something things a little more technically.
Excuse me?
That the
Torah
yeah.
was based on this premise.
Just relating to what more.
Definitely. Definitely. But that's something that a person needs Eitzah Taiva from Hashem. This is why we say V'hoser Satan milfaneinu u'me'achreinu, that there are times when the Satan is standing in front of a person. A person's supposed to go over there. He's supposed to go to Eretz Yisrael, and the Satan looms up before him to block him, not to let him get to his destination. That's V'hoser Satan milfaneinu. We ask Hashem, please remove the Satan when he stands in front of us to block us from getting to a certain place. Me'acharenu. What's me'acharenu? The Mefarshim say there are times when the Satan goes behind a person and pushes him to leave his current place. In other words, he's supposed to be in a certain place, and his whole Yeshua and whole Hatzlocha is totally in his being there. And the Satan is pushing him out of that place to push him to a different place, Chas V'Shalom, where Chas V'Shalom it could be dangerous. So this is where a person like V'Sakneinu will be Eitzah Taiva Mufanecha. A person has to beg Hashem to guide him in this. Which person, which one of us knows where we're supposed to be? Every single day, where should I, do I belong in a Beis Medrash today? Do I belong, should I be going to work? What is my tikkun dependent on? If I knew the exact things that I was on this world to be Misake, and I knew my whole Gilgul and every, then I know exactly what I'm supposed to be doing. If I don't know all of that, I have to beg Hashem, Hashem, please guide me, show me what I'm supposed to accomplish today, show me where I should be, what I should be doing. A person could think that his uvda is to be sitting and learning 10, 15 hours a day, and that could be complete Yetzer Hara, where for him, Rachmon Otzlan, it lasts a week or a month, and the nefila that he'll suffer from in Chas V'Shalom will be much, much more damaging, because his mission is to be a Zvulun. His main tafkin in the world is to support Torah. For him to attempt to be the Yisachar, it's out of reach for him. It's a bechina of ribui shemen. On the contrary, you could have another person who's supposed to be a Yisachar, and he thinks with his great mind, he's going to go out and earn millions of dollars, he'll support all the yeshivas, and Hashem doesn't want his millions. He belongs in a yeshiva himself learning. And this is where we need guidance from Hashem. This is part of our tefillah, that Hashem should show us what to do, what we should be doing.
In view of what I wasn't mentioned, is that you mentioned at one time that person's learning could be his biggest.
Moinea, 100%. In other words, that Rabbeinu Zal explains usually refers to a hisrachus, that the Gemara says that there are three people who are to be dealt with the same way. Four, actually. One is a wife, one is a child, and one is the Yetzer Hara, and one is a student. These four parties are to be dealt with the same way. What's the same way? Smoil Deiche, Yemin Mekarev. The left hand should push away, the right hand should bring close. Now it's even the Yetzer Hara. We don't reject him completely. Just as we say, Zel Chacham Halemin Mikolodam, we mentioned many Meforshim, we say that even from the Yetzer Hara you have to learn from. Look at the